WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
When the earthquake hit San Francisco in 1989, Gladys Hansen was wrapping up a 25-year project investigating the devastating effects of the 1906 quake. Hansen is the archivist for the city of San Francisco. Her new book, Denial of Disaster, reveals that a lot of information about the 1906 quake was suppressed. I asked her what tipped her off that there was a cover-up going on.
My first clue was a study that I began about 25 years ago, and that was to find out how many people actually died in 1906. And so since about 1965, I've been slowly working through the records and so forth, and finally producing a figure now that we are very proud of. Not proud that so many died in 1906, but proud that 80 years have elapsed and we were able to do this kind of work. We're up to over 3,000 people. Now, this is rather interesting because the city of San Francisco, through our board of supervisors in 1907, said that only 478 people died. General Greely, the U.S. Army, came out and said, no, 498 people died. And then the state of California said, okay, we're going to do it a little bit better. 503 died.
I'm interested in the rewriting of history that you found. You found that one of the people who helped rewrite history was a public relations agent of the Southern Pacific Railroad Company.
That's right.
And that he wanted to rewrite history a little bit to diminish the impact of the quake so as not to discourage Easterners from investing in California enterprise. What are some of the things that he did to play down the effects of the quake?
He was, of course, paid by Southern Pacific Company, and they were the largest industry here in California, private industry. And so they hired the best writers in the state and had them write all the stories about this earthquake. They, of course, were aware that unless San Francisco recovered and recovered quickly, Eastern money wasn't going to be brought back into the city. In other words, in order for the city to recover, we had to totally brag that we had a fire. Let's talk fire, certainly not earthquake, because it's bad for business.
You found that the realtors in San Francisco took a vote, and they passed a resolution to call 1906 the Great Fire instead of the Great Quake, because they, too, were concerned that real estate value would go down if people thought that this was an earthquake, that this was earthquake damage and that there was the possibility of another quake. Did that stick at all? I mean, did realtors or other people take to calling the 1906 disaster the Great Fire instead of the Great Quake?
Oh, yes. Even today you'll read stories that writers, and modern-day writers, where they relate to our 1906 episode as the Great Fire, not as the Great Earthquake at all. This is really sad, mainly because you expect more of people that are researching to get into the actual materials like we have done.
Do you think that any of the subsequent building codes or earthquake preparedness programs have been based on the misinformation that you've been discovering?
Very definitely. We've been concerned because, you know, the FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Program there, they have gauged all their, deaths in it. In other words, they have put together a very large volume, and in it, it tells you exactly what to expect from a large earthquake like 8.25. They're still using the figure of 487 dying in San Francisco, and now we know we have 3,000. Well, that's changing figures. Everything has to change as these studies come in now because they're no longer applicable. We've got many more people dying, many more people injured. So this means all this study has to be rewritten, and they have to start understanding what truly is going to happen.
What flashed through your mind during the quake just a few months ago? What were your very first thoughts?
I had just gotten off the telephone, and the building started to become noisy. And then the air filled with it was like almost smoke, but it was all the dust and so forth falling from the ceilings and so forth. And I didn't believe it. I was mostly concerned about my staff. Right away, I started looking around to see where the staff was. And they had sought spots in doorways. And then I saw one gal that was standing alone, and she was from Minnesota, and she didn't like earthquakes, so I raced to her to be with her. And then we rode it out together, watched glass tumble from our frame pieces on the walls and a stained glass window that was hanging fall and so forth. I think the part I didn't like was the noise. It was scary in that you felt that the building was coming apart.
It's a very bizarre situation, really. Here you are, you've been spending about 20 years of your life researching the quake of 1906, and just as your book is on the verge of being published, there's another quake, and a rather large one. What this does is, in a way, give you an opportunity to collect information correctly this time around. What have you been doing to document the effects of the 1989 earthquake?
Well, I was truly trained in 1906. I've been through that earthquake, at least I feel I have, and I realized immediately the importance of firsthand accounts, people that would write their story within a day or two, or a week, even a month, because we would be then reaching the people that had gone through this, and it was their words. They weren't being intimidated by outside press, television, and so forth. It was their stories that they were giving us. And they started coming in. Do you know we've got over 700 stories have come in? And that's only adult stories. Doesn't include the children. But the nice thing about this, many people have written, not only giving them wonderful, wonderful stories, but they have thanked us. They've actually said, we thank you for asking us to do this because we were really uptight about this earthquake. And by writing it down, putting it in an envelope, sealing it, mailing it off to you, we are now ready to live again. So it was cheaper than going to a psychiatrist.
Your new book is about how people tried to deny the earthquake disaster of 1906 and talk about it being a fire, underplay the casualties. Do you think there's any denial happening in the earthquake of 89?
It's much more difficult to deny now because everyone's watching. But there is a denial. There is a denial that the earthquake wasn't as severe as it was. San Francisco experienced a lot of damage, and damage to places that were not noted other than the marina. Marina received all the attention, and the freeway, the bridge, and so forth. But we had damage south of Market in many instances, places that were damaged in the 1857, our early earthquakes. The same buildings went down. We had damage out in the Richmond District. We had damage in the Sunset District. Large areas. There were just pockets. But there was lots of damage. And those are the people that I feel sorry for because it's like they were forgotten.
Well, now a lot of people are worrying what the real big one is going to be like. There's a chapter in your book written by the former fire chief of San Francisco who collaborated with you on this book.
Yes.
And he expresses his concern that fires today would be even worse than they were in 1906. What are some of the reasons why he's predicting that?
Well, you have to remember in 1906 we had a city half the size that we have today, population of 450,000 in 1906 against, say, 800 today. The city is building to building now. There is no open space except for the parks and the Presidio and so forth. And he's very concerned that the western part of the city, fires would start there because he classed these buildings. There are no firewalls between them. And in other words, one block, I believe, would be 28 buildings, and that would be basically one, and to a fireman, it'd be one building that would go. Would it be a very large fire, and that would be one block that would be gone. But those westerly winds would bring that fire and drive it right through the city. He's really concerned, and of course, he's concerned about the high-rises. We're concerned that perhaps the buildings might survive, but will the people in them survive, especially with all the different synthetics that we have today and plastics? that as soon as fires hit them, smoke takes you out, toxic, and so you're in trouble.
Are you doing anything now to prepare for the big one?
You mean the city or me?
I mean you personally.
Me personally? Yes. You know, I live out by Lake Merced, and we have gone through and we've added all the supports to the house that is needed. We have a large supply of water. We have extra food. We have flashlights. We have rosary beads saying, please, let's not have it again.
Gladys Hansen is the archivist for the City of San Francisco and the co-author of Denial of Disaster. It's published by Cameron and Company of San Francisco.